Greetings, Saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Father, we ask you to make this a success and put your anointing upon it to bless our brethren to fight the good fight of the faith. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We're going to share on warfare against Satanists, something highly needed in this world right now, for sure. And I'm going to start out with a revelation given to Dimitri Dudeman, a wonderful prophet of the Lord. He called a call to war. Cease heading the way you have been going and turn to me, says the Lord. Lucifer, who is armed for war on his horse and is coming with a powerful army behind him to take vengeance against the children of God. The day is close, a day of terror, when Lucifer will try to annihilate all those that live a clean life. A day of pain and terror is near. Well, obviously we are the salt of the earth, as our Lord said, and our job is to resist him. And we're also told, you have not because you ask not. So a lot of prayers need to be prayed, and many times they don't get prayed. We are here to resist him. If you could see what is being prepared and what will happen, you will surely quit doing everything you know in your heart to be wrong and would seek peace more than ever. Be prepared, be holy, and don't give in to the temptations and impulses of the enemy. Seek the Lord your God with all of your heart. Those who will be clean and those who will be holy, I will not forget. I will save them, says the Lord. The armies of the devil are coming against those who worship me and truly seek me with great fury. Pray that I may give you strength so that before the storm comes, I may save you and give you joy. Those who live in defilement that meditate upon evil things will have no escape. They will not have any protection. I will destroy Babylon. And in parenthesis, he has America. In other words, Babylon in America, right? Says the Lord, because of the wickedness and the blasphemy of this country, not only here, but wherever there is sin, I will punish it harshly. Only the righteous will I save, some even out of the midst of the fire. Again, I tell you, a dark cloud is gathered. Lucifer, sitting on his black horse, is ready for war. The trumpets of the devil are sounding day and night to all the demons of the deep to be prepared to make war against those who truly live their lives for God. There will be such great turmoil that only a few will escape. Those who today only carry the name of believer will fight with fury against those who worship me with a clean heart. And this is why I have revealed this to you, because the days are numbered. I reveal to you, I speak to you, I show to you, says the Lord. But many do not want to remember, saying to themselves, is it truly the Lord speaking this? And others become scared for the moment, but then they forget and never become pure. Many of those who carry the name of Christian are overcome by greed, fornication, drunkenness, and a pursuit of great wealth. There is no time to lose. The day of destruction and terror is coming soon. The devil is agitated, and a great deception is being prepared. But I tell you, do not fear. I have the power to protect those who obey me. You must remember the word of God. Tell them to read the Bible and pray that I may also save them. The great day, the day of terror, the day of affliction, of pain, the day of punishment of Babylon, prophesied in the Bible, is soon coming, and I will only save the righteous, says the Lord. I will forgive whom I want. I will make holy who I want, and I prepare who I want. Judge no more, for mine is the judgment, says the Lord. Each of you judge yourselves, pray and draw close to me, and if you will obey, I will come to your aid. I will send a chariot of salvation and take each one of you in his appointed time. We have dealt with the spirit of faction against our ministry for several years now, and have been cleansed of it, and the apostates that were used by it. So we recognize it in the worldly, and we see it operating in the government. We're doing the necessary warfare against this work of Islam, Satanism, communism, and faction with their witchcraft curses, railing, etc., causing problems for Christians. I tell you, if you don't resist, you will lose. It's a battle. It's a war. The enemy's not going to stop fighting because you stop fighting. So you must resist, right? We have authority over all the power of the enemy, as the Lord taught us. President Trump, his administration, and the MAGA movement, we were told that the bride was being cleansed now, but the much larger church will go through the same thing in the tribulation. And that's why we are being educated in the way we are, so we can help, you know. I'm going to go over some terminology with you about these demons of gossip and slander and railing and reviling and what motivates them. Our first defense against these demons is to not receive accusations against anyone that we do not have two or three witnesses, as the scriptures teach. Many times, the motivation for gossip, slander, railing, and reviling, which are similar, is to divide others unto oneself for selfish ambitions, like making disciples. Satan has this same purpose. Anyone who listens to these demons gets invaded by them. And in this case, the person working for Satan should be marked or identified, according to Romans 16 and 17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them that are causing divisions and occasions of stumbling, contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and turn away from them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Christ, but their own belly, and by their smooth and fair speech they beguile the hearts of the innocent. So this division or faction often involves jealousy, lying, and manipulation to get one's way. James 3 and 14 says, "But if you have bitter jealousy and faction in your heart, glory not and lie not against the truth." He knows lying will be involved in it. Okay. This wisdom is not a wisdom that cometh down from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. The Greek word there is demoniacal, right? For where jealousy and faction are, there is confusion and every vile deed. Indeed, these people always are in deep sin, for when they judge, they are judged in this manner. That's how they get their correction, right? So let's get some terminology straight so we can look at some scriptures. Gossip is malicious talk or rumor, especially about the personal or private affairs of others, and it's meant to harm the subject's reputation in the community or whatever, our church. It is one of the oldest and most common means of sharing facts and views, but it also has a reputation for the introduction of errors and variations into the information transmitted, and it opens people up to demonic oppression. And then they too become, you know, an enemy. So the term can also imply that the idle chat or news is of personal or trivial nature as opposed to normal conversation, but may not be intentionally malicious. Matthew 12 and 36 says, "And I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment." Thank God that we come into days of judgment so that we don't have to come into the day of judgment. The Greek word translated as idle, as in idle words, here means unfruitful. There are unfruitful words that demand punishment in a day of judgment. So we should be quick to repent and be slow to speak as we are commanded. And I'll give Greek meanings which reveal much here, I think. Both Greek and Hebrew verses are given to show the nature of these errors. Slanderer, for instance, the Greek word is diablos. You know that? Diablo is also Spanish for devil. Devil. A slanderer is a devil, the demon of slander, right? Accuser, meaning accusing falsely, finding fault with the demeanor of and conduct of others and spreading their innuendos and criticisms in the church. Somebody that does this and you listen to it and you open up your mind to it, it gets into you. And then you also carry this to others. The devil finds those people who are accusers like him to do his dirty work. Psalm 15 and 1, Jehovah, who shall sojourn in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? In other words, who will be in Jerusalem, whom John was told was the bride? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh truth in his heart. He that slandereth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his friend, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor. This, of course, cannot include those whose job it is to correct the evil, right? Obviously, he has given that to elders in the church to correct this evil, and individuals too. Psalm 50 and 20 says, "Thou sittest and speakest against thy brother. Thou slanderest thine own mother's son." Psalm 101 and 5 says, "Whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, him will I destroy." And we have seen it happen. God doesn't let it go on because it's just passing on demons. "Him that hath a high look and a proud heart will I not suffer." That's them. We can actually see God destroying the life and conscience of those who sin like this. In Proverbs 10 and 18, we're told, "He that hideth hatred is of lying lips, and he that uttereth a slander is a fool." And Jeremiah 6 and 28 says, They are all grievous revolters, going about with slanderers. They are brass and iron. They all of them deal corruptly. Jeremiah 9:4 says, "Take ye heed every one of his neighbor, and trust ye not any brother, for every brother will utterly supplant, and every neighbor will go about with slanders." Yep, if you get caught up in a bunch of people like this, even religious people who claim to be righteous, you know, get out from among them. A little leaven leavens the whole lump, right? Ezekiel 22:9. "Slanderous men have been in thee to shed blood." He calls it shedding blood, even though it's not physical. They are destroying people. "And in thee they have eaten up the mountains." So they're lifted up in pride, imagining themselves as God, right? The judge God. "In the midst of thee, they have committed lewdness." Yes. And Romans 3:8. "And why not, as we are slanderously reported, and as some affirm that we say, let us do evil that good may come." In other words, they'll twist your words, right? "Whose condemnation is just." 1 Timothy 3:11 says, "Women in like manner must be grave, not slanderers, temperate, faithful in all things." 1 Timothy 3:3, "Without natural affection, implacable," means they cannot be appeased, right? "Slanderers, without self-control, fierce, no lovers of good." And Titus 2:3 says, "That aged women likewise be reverent in demeanor." "Not slanderers, nor enslaved to much wine, teachers of that which is good." Amen. Railer is the Greek word blasphemio. It means to blaspheme, or to rail, or to revile, or to defame, or to speak evil of. There are railers out there. That's what they do. They think that this will make them bigger in the eyes of people if they tear everybody else down, right? 2 Peter 2:10, "But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lusts of defilement and despised dominion, daring, self-willed, they tremble not to rail at dignities." In other words, those who have authority over them. Some people always resist authority. Jude 1:8 says, "Yet in like manner, these also in their dreamings defile the flesh and set at naught dominion and rail at dignities." When I was young, people spoke with respect of the one that the people voted to be president, for instance. And because of slander and railing, weak-minded people are trying to kill him. They receive those words, they get angry, and they go against him. Well, the Lord put him in there for a good purpose, and he's going to keep him just as long as is necessary. So pray for him. And a lot of other people, anybody in leadership, anybody that is in a place of dominion, the enemy will try to come against them and tear them down. Jude 1:10 says, "But these rail at whatsoever things they know not, and what they understand naturally, like the creatures without reason. In these things are they destroyed." Yes, because what comes out of their mouth, they will reap what they sow, right? Another word, revile or reviler, is the Greek word blasphemio. To blaspheme, rail, revile, defame, speak evil of. Also commonly translated from loidero, to abuse or revile, right? Ecclesiastes 10 and 20 says, revile not the king, no, not in thy thought, and revile not the rich in thy bedchamber, for a bird of the heavens shall carry the voice, and that which hath wings shall tell the manner. In other words, you won't be able to keep it quiet. It will go around and it will come back at you, because everybody reaps what they sow. John 9 and 28, and they reviled him and said, thou art his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. Well, Moses had better sense, right? So they can't really say that. 1 Corinthians 4 and 12, and we toil, working with our own hands. Being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we endure. So we have to endure these ignorant people until God removes them, as he always does. 1 Corinthians 5 and 11, but as it is, I wrote unto you not to keep company, if any man that is named a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a reviler, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such a one, know not to eat. In other words, do not partake of spiritual or physical food with these people, because a little leaven leavens the whole lump. 1 Corinthians 6 and 10 says, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Revilers will not inherit the kingdom of God. So you see that they are linked with other very serious sins. And 1 Peter 2 and 23 says, who, when he was reviled, he reviled not again, and when he suffered, threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. So God will repay. Most of the faction is dead. 1 Peter 3 and 16, having a good conscience, that wherein ye are spoken against, they may be put to shame who revile your good manner of life in Christ. Ephesians 4 and 25 says, wherefore, putting away falsehood, speak ye truth, each one with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Selfish ambition often involves pride and anger and lying to get a person's way. You know, you can tell them they're in competition, so to speak. And 26 goes on to say, be ye angry and sin not. I personally believe that there's a question mark there. There wasn't any punctuation in the original, but I question it, because it goes on to say, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. In other words, he's not saying it's okay, be angry and just don't sin. But when you're anger rests in the bosom of a fool, the Bible says. So don't say it's not sin, right? So let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing that is good, that he may have whereof to give to him that hath need. Let no corrupt speech proceed out of your mouth. Therefore, that verse, I put a question mark behind it. Here's another reason right here. Let no corrupt speech proceed out of your mouth, but such as is good for edifying or building up, as the need may be. The Greek word for edifying, the building up of the need, is what it means. In other words, if it's not building up the speaker and the spoken to don't say it, that it may give grace to them that hear. And if it doesn't bring graceful correction or give grace or favor from God to the hearer, then don't bother saying it. Verse 30 goes on, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, in whom you were sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger, notice, and clamor and railing be put away from you with all malice. That's why I say there was a question mark there, because he's telling you just don't permit anger, you know. And all of this comes because the selfish ambition and unforgiveness for those who get in its way, right? So 32 goes on, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, even as God also in Christ forgave you. So if you want to be forgiven, you have to forgive. And if you don't forgive, you're not forgiven by God. That's what we're told. So if we want forgiveness from God, we must sow it. You have to sow anything that you want back, right? Because what you sow, you're going to reap. Now, here's an awesome revelation. Genghis Khan spirit of deception. Just if you know the nature of Genghis Khan, you can probably figure out what this is saying. This was given to Eve Brast in 2011. In a dream, I saw many people being deceived by a much more powerful and deceptive evil principality called a Genghis Khan spirit. It will be worse than the false revival, Kundalini, Eastern spirit, and so on. Genghis Khan, by the way, was the Mongol who led legions of demon-possessed men to conquer most of Eurasia by the edge of the sword, massacring whole populations, about 40 million people. There are people that carry this on, especially Islamists. They love to kill Christians, and they are doing it around the world. President Trump, to his credit, has reached out to help the Christians who are being slaughtered by these. Anyway, so he's still worshipped by many, that is Genghis Khan, in Mongolia. So he could represent a religious spirit here. No doubt that this is a spirit that will bring spiritual death, conquering multitudes of Christians, like the Kundalini yoga spirits, the false revival. This new spirit conquers people by the sword or by words written or spoken, which makes it much more dangerous than the Kundalini spirit, which was mostly imparted by the laying on of hands. Yeah, if you read their works, you can get their demons. If you listen to somebody who speaks from them, you can get their demons. It's to your own, for your own good, and for the good of your family too, by the way, because when you bring it home, it still gets on them. So these words are in the form of unforgiveness, bitterness, backstabbing, criticism, slander, gossip, railing, lying, perversion, witchcraft, voodoo, etc. And with as with any kind of a war, the enemy will target the leadership with their words first in order to replace them with their own kind. So if you listen to their words, you will be conquered and come into spiritual death and under their authority. These people always prefer to speak behind one's back, but you, the true church, must tell them to go to the person that they are accusing and speak to them alone, according to Jesus' command in Matthew 18 and 15. When they have the Spirit, they will never obey Jesus' command in Matthew 18 and 15. And of course, if it's not sin, according to the Word, they should stop gossiping and slandering and not receive such things. It says, go to them, you and them alone. And if you don't are not satisfied that they have given it up, then you can take a witness with you. And if they don't listen to them, let them be unto thee like a Gentile and a publican, right? So if they do not listen, mark them, quote unquote, or identify them as the Lord commands. Now, people don't like to do this, but you're saving lives by doing this. And he commands this in Romans 16 and 17 and verse 18 also, and Titus 3, 10 and 11. I was shaking my head in disappointment as I watched the people act like they were in love with this spirit. It was like a worldwide orgy. The true people of God who stay with the truth of his word won't be overtaken, even with this deception. This is all I was shown. Well, we have been shown many times that this is a worldwide attack on the saints by apostates a lot of times. The corporate beast spirit from the abyss is coming forth to enter the sons of perdition, the Judases that are out there, and use them to conquer and make war on the true Christians, just as it was with Jesus. In Revelation 17 and 8, the beast that thou sawest was and is not and is about to come up out of the abyss and go into perdition. If you'll notice the beasts of the Bible that are mentioned, like the seven-head, ten-horns beast, right? It's a corporate body. It's not an individual. There's no individual that has seven heads and ten horns. Okay, it's a corporate body, the beast. A beast is a group of people that follow after the flesh and quite often persecute the righteous. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, they whose name hath not been written in the book of the life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast, how that he was and is not, and shall come. Well, it is true. Look, notice all of the beasts, the seven heads are the seven major beasts, right? Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Media, Persia, Greece, Rome, revived Rome. They are all with us today. There is a UN of all of these previous beasts and their children, their offspring. And this text goes on to say how that he was and is not and shall come. So as each one of those seven beasts, of course, individually ruled, but their dominion was taken away, but their lives were prolonged in their offspring. And we have them with us today, even in the UN, right? So, as the word says, a great falling away to strong delusion is upon us. Pray for anyone being used in this way that they would repent before they are untimely reprobated and forever known as sons of perdition. So when I opened my Bible for a scripture for this dream, my finger was on 1 Thessalonians 4 and 3. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from fornication, that each of you know how, by the way, the people who are in faction are always in fornication. Okay, always. It's a spirit that joins with it. That each one of you know how to possess himself of this of his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in passion of lust, even as the nations who know not God. So, a refusal to separate from known or hidden sins is what makes Christians vulnerable to these conquering demons, because God turns them over to them. 1 Corinthians 5:5 says, to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Yes, God still does that. He still turns people over to Satan so that they learn not to judge other people, because now they're doing it. Mm-hmm. So refusal to separate from these people will infect the whole assembly if you're not careful. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, even as ye are unleavened. For our Passover also hath been sacrificed, even Christ. Wherefore let us keep the feast, not with the old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. I asked the Father, she said, what this Genghis Khan spirit was, or what it represented, and when I opened my Bible, my finger was on 1 John 2:22. Who is the liar, but who denieth that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, even who denieth the Father and the Son. So, Antichrist spirits always deny the true Jesus and the Word to justify themselves. The rest of this text tells the whole story, 1 John 2:18. Little children, it is the last hour, and as you heard that Antichrist cometh, even now have there arisen many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us. Notice, the Antichrist spirit, people who have been taken down by it, always leave from among the righteous. They get offended when you don't agree with their sin. But they were not of us, it goes on to say, for if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But God forces them out, because a little leaven leavens the whole lump. God is protecting his body. He even lets them have offenses so that they fall out with the goofiest stuff. But they went out, that they might be made manifest that they all are not of us. Well, notice that many antichrists in this, quote, last hour, unquote, will separate from us because they do not belong with the true church due to their leavened nature. In this, they deny that the Father and the Son, verse 22 there, because they deny the true word given in the beginning, which is eternal life. Verse 24, as for you, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If that which you heard from the beginning abide in you, you also shall abide in the Son and in the Father. So when they want to pollute your mind with these evil spirits, they're trying to separate you from your abiding in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise which he promised us, even the life eternal. Amen. These things have I written unto you concerning them that would lead you astray. In other words, they have to be among you in order to attempt to lead you astray. So you have to be very careful. And then in 2011, she said, in the dream above, I saw many Christians being deceived by a very powerful and deceptive evil principality called a Genghis Khan spirit. I saw that this spirit is manifesting in the factious who will kill by the sword of slander. And now I am seeking that it is also taking over a beast government. I'm seeing, she was seeing this. It's true. We can see it. They slander against others. There has always been a beast government to back up the factious. Jesus' time was a good example of this. Obama is the head of a deep state beast government made up of Islam faction, communists, and leftist peoples. You say, how is he that way? He doesn't have to be officially in the government. He's got his own government, and they are still carrying this on, seeking to destroy. I had seen a cleansing the true church by this spirit rising up in apostates to separate them from the man, child, and bride. But also now I see a global shift and a transfer of secular government power in the spirit realm to this Genghis Khan spirit. Well, we know a lot of leftists are this way. They are constantly slandering, constantly talking against. They don't have anything to tell you that is good or to teach you good. Instead, they want to tear down the more righteous, I would call them. And, of course, it's this Genghis Khan spirit. And to confirm this, on 2012, we just discovered that Mongolia is on our school schedule for my sons, Noah, and his studies this week. And he also has to read a book about Genghis Khan. So that was a really good confirmation, who came from there. And now I know there are no coincidences with the Father. Isn't that something? Well, yes, it is. And, you know, it appears from the dreams that there is a secular type to coincide with the possibly and possibly give timing to the previous spiritual meaning of the Genghis Khan spirit that God gave. He does that. You know, Jesus spoke about corn and planting corn, and he wasn't talking about corn, right? So, but he does give physical things that imply his message. So we can watch for that. The war between Iran and Israel is being used as a type of the war between the factious murderers, which they were, killing at least 50-something thousand of their own so-called people who were unarmed. These are murderers. They are wicked. They are evil. Any cult like that, it has to be a cult, by the way, needs to get what they deserve, and they are getting what they deserve. So the Iran faction type is also backed up by a beast government type of Russia and China. And also it appears that what is seen, as we'll see, is that this is the time of the choosing of the bride and the birthing of the man-child ministry. And she went on to say, I asked the Father to expand my understanding of this Genghis Khan spirit from my first spiritual revelation concerning the church. So I opened my Bible, and my finger fell on Ezekiel 32 and 24. There is Elam. That's Iran. However, it's Iran invaded by Islam, who doesn't belong there. the Persian people are not in agreement with Islam. They took them over. They're illegal. To negotiate with the Islamic people as though they own Iran is wrong, because they don't. Okay, I'm just going to make that little point. So there is Elam and all her multitude round about her grave, all of them slain, fallen by the sword, who are gone down uncircumcised into the nether parts of the earth, who caused terror in the land of the living. Yes, they have. They were a sponsor of terror all over the world and paid for it. Yes. And have borne their shame with them that go down to the pit. Wow, that's pretty clear. Iran is about to lose their battle to Israel, backed by the United States. In parallel, the factious in the world church will lose their battle against the righteous. She said, I looked up who Elam was because I didn't know. Elam was a son of Shem, who was the father of the Persians, or modern-day Iranians. Shem, however, their government has totally been invaded by Islam, which has no right to the country at all, but they do conquer countries, and that's their plan, is to conquer this country too. So resist. Resist in the spirit and do spiritual warfare. Shem is also the father of the chosen line of Israel, meaning the true Iranians and the Israelites are born of the same father. However, the Iranians, Muslim invaders, and evil leadership represents the same thing as the Edomites, for they have perpetually made war against their own brothers. Remember when Iran was first caught, they reached out and shot at all the Islamist countries all the way around them, which was totally nuts. So, as we have seen in another parable, this also represents the factious in the world church who persecute their brothers but will lose by the hand of God. So now you see that the Iranian Muslim invaders' actions against Israel represent the factious people's actions against the church, since they are born of the same murderous spirits. The Psalms speak often of the persecution and slander against David by the factious, and many of these are also prophetically speaking of Jesus and Jesus in the end-time man-child. All of these will be persecuted by these factious people. So then I asked for a confirmation for this scripture and opened my Bible and put my finger down on Isaiah 21:2. A grievous vision is declared unto me. The treacherous man dealeth treacherously, and the destroyer destroyeth. Go up, O Elam, Iran, okay? Besiege, O Media, that could be the Kurds of Iran. All the sighing thereof have I made to cease. Therefore are my loins filled with anguish. Pangs have taken hold upon me, as the pangs of a woman in travail. I am pained so that I cannot hear. I am dismayed so that I cannot see. Well, we see here that not only will the invader Muslim leadership of Iran attack first, as the factious always do, they murdered around 52,000. President Trump said it was more like 100,000, possibly so, I don't know, unarmed Iranian people, and put them in mass graves. So many turned Christians in Iran recently. There's been a revival of Christianity, a strong revival of Christianity in Iran. And the devil was mad, especially their leadership, who is very anti-Christ. Anytime you see Muslims, they're anti-Christ. Yes, they are. In any place in the world where they're left alone, they will turn against Christians and have done. So before Israel and the U.S. stepped in, they were, of course, destroying. And we also see that this caused the woman church there to be in travail with Christ coming through them. Is this a sign for the rest of the church? Well, Islam is killing Christians around the world. The red dragon of Satan is seeking to devour the woman church. And President Trump has opposed them three times recently. Iran has struck out all of its Islamic neighbors. That's just how much they value them. So anyway, Deb Horton put a note in here originally. Genghis Khan was known and is studied in war colleges today for his strategic maneuvers. One of the most famous was dividing up his troops and sending in very small skirmish attacks and forces before the actual war. So that may be what we have seen when they struck all of their Sunni neighbor Islamists who are now against the Shia cult in the war. So the woman church, who is faced by the dragon, is in travail with the birth of the man-child in Revelation 12 and 1 through 5. And this appears to be giving us timing, a physical sign of a spiritual happening. And that was given to Deb Horton. About Elam, Jeremiah 49 and 35 says, "The word of the Lord that came to Jeremiah the prophet concerning Elam," or Iran, "in the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah." So this was before Zedekiah made the tribulation covenant of his day with the king of Babylon as the head of the beast, Ezekiel 17 and 13, and also 15 through 21, saying, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will break the bow of Elam," Iran, "the chief of their might." So this looks like the Islamists in Iran being hit by Israel and the United States before the tribulation covenant, as we have thought. So in parallel, the factious will lose their war against the righteous, or more righteous, I would say, in the church by the hand of God. And upon Elam, Iran, will I bring the four winds from the four quarters of heaven, and will scatter them towards all those winds. They're being scattered. And there shall be no nation whither the outcasts of Elam shall not come. They're being outcast now. And some of them are just fleeing because they're not being fed. They've been cut off from the food. They've been cut off from their pay. They're not getting paid. Some of them are joining the Iranian people against the Islamists. And the police force is joining the people against the Islamists. It's turning bad for them. So there's not a nation whither the outcasts of Elam shall not come. They're scattering. They know that they're seeing the end of their rule. And they're being scattered because the food, the water, the pay are scarce, and they are being slaughtered. The greatest revival of Christianity is there. And they may scatter and spread the gospel even. So anyway, verse 37 goes on, and I will cause Elam, or Iran, to be dismayed before their enemies and before them who seek their life. That's of the Islamic invaders who claim to be the owners of Iran, who claim to be the leaders of Iran, but they are invaders. And I will bring evil upon them, that is Islam. He has done so. Even my fierce anger, saith the Lord, and I will send a sword after them, Islam, until I have consumed them. And I will set my throne in Elam, and I will destroy from thence king and princes, saith the Lord. This is being done right now. There has been a change of leadership because they have wiped out the top leadership, and you see much younger people stepping forward to take the reins now. So this is being done against the Islamic invaders who claim that country, even though it has nothing to do with them. And we shouldn't be negotiating with them as though they own that country, because they do not. But it shall come to pass in the latter days, that's where we are now, that I will bring back the captivity of Elam, saith the Lord. So Iran is being delivered from Islamic captivity, and we see this as a prophecy of our day at the end of the Iran war, because also this is seen in Jeremiah 25 and 25. And all the kings of Zimri, and all the kings of Elam, and all the kings of the Medes, that's the Kurds of Iran, and all the kings of the north, far and near, one with another, and all the kingdoms of the world, which are upon the face of the earth, and the kings of Shishak, which is an ancient name for Babylon, the U.S., which is being weakened by this war, by the way. It's giving up an awful lot of its artillery of different kinds, shall drink after them. So here you see that a punishment is going to come on Shishak, Babylon. Babylon is being destroyed. As we speak, it's being destroyed. I'm not talking about Babylon, the people, and America as the body. I'm talking about Babylon, the spirit that is in the U.S. U.S. is still going to be here, okay? So people don't think that the conquering of Babylon is the conquering of the United States, but it is the conquering of this Babylonian spirit in the United States, and that's happening as we speak. We also see in type in this text that the factious Islamic leadership will be brought into captivity in the latter days. I asked the Father, who the Islamites, the Iranian Islamists, represented from these verses. Could the Iranian Christians be a sign for the U.S. Christians, who will also suffer under the Islamic beast? The leftists and the Democrats have invaded the country with these people. And they have told us their purpose. Their purpose is to conquer America for Islam. That's what they do wherever they go. So when I opened my Bible, my finger fell on Jeremiah 7 and 8. Behold, you trust in lying words, you cannot profit. So those Iranians who joined the Islamists to betray their own brethren are also being scattered, or they're repenting and going back to their people. Verse 9 goes on, will ye steal, murder, and commit adultery, and swear falsely, and burn incense to Baal, and walk after other gods that you have not known? See, there are people who joined the Islamists from among the Iranians. How crazy. And come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered that we may do all these abominations. Is this house, which is called by my name, become a den of robbers in your eyes? Well, there's a great revival going on there in Iran. People turning to Christ. And even Islamists turning to Christ because they've lived under that possession and misery for many years. And they see that there is peace among Christians. They like that. Behold, I, even I, have seen it, saith the Lord. So this clearly is a warning to the Iranians under this factious beast of Islam, foreshadow the Christians in the U.S. who have followed a false Jesus, but are justifying their sinful actions. And I asked the Father if he had anything more for us concerning all this, she said, and when I opened my Bible, my finger was on Psalm 7 and 10. My shield is with God, who saveth the upright in heart. Oh, thank you, Father. And I believe this entire psalm is a promise to us of what our Father will soon do to the factious who receive and commit adultery with this Genghis Khan spirit to conquer enemies by the sword. So she goes on to say, be encouraged, brethren, and hold fast to the truth which you heard from the beginning. Yes, so much so. And as I was lying down to sleep, I asked the Father to show me more about the Genghis Khan spirit in a dream or a vision. And as I was lying in bed praying in the spirit, he gave me this vision on 12/29/11. I was high above earth, looking down from a southern viewpoint towards the north at the Asian continent, where Russia and China are. It was dark upon the earth. Suddenly I saw something dark rising up from beneath the Asian continent, from the center where Mongolia is located. That's where Genghis Khan came from. The spirit told me that Mongolia is the opening to the womb between the two legs of Russia and China. And this spirit is rising up in and coming forth from them. Yes, they backed this Iranian regime that was one of their allies. Okay. Its back rose out first, hunched like a mountain or a kingdom, and then its head and shoulders came out, bowed down towards the east, and then its arms and finally its legs. It stayed kneeling down on one knee towards the east, bracing itself with its arms and hands, one on Russia and the other on China. Of course, these have defended and these have armed up the Iranian Islamists. So this is because the Christians in Iran, they don't agree with this. They don't agree with the Islamists. They don't agree with Russia and China supporting them and arming them. And they don't agree with any of this. They're in bondage and they need freedom. And they're getting a taste of it right now. This is similar to the stance runners have at the start of a race, you know, the hands on the ground, you know, and in a halfway kneeling position, you know. So this Genghis Khan spirit is a spiritual type of a conquering spirit rising in Russia and China, that beast, to back Iran in the Middle East. And when the U.S. and Israel hit Iran, they were successful. However, Russia and China have defense agreements with Iran and Syria, and because of this insult, they are coming together in an arms race to fight against the U.S., and they're arming up the Islamists, or they have been arming up the Islamists. They're losing an awful lot of their arms because they're being destroyed by Israel and the United States. And Iran and its hatred for Israel is a part, I'm not talking about the original Persian population. They are not. They're in favor of Israel. So in its hatred for Israel is a part of this larger beast. And this is a type of the factious religious beast, being a part of the larger conquering world beast in their hatred for Christianity. So this is also seen in Revelation 14, where the religious beast is one with the world secular beast. She went on to say, it had a human form with sharp nails on its fingers, pointed ears, and a bald head. Heaven gave it permission to raise up its head and take its first breath. And as it opened its mouth and drew in a large breath, some more stars, I believe representing nations, were sucked into its mouth from the night sky, along with the breath it inhaled. I could see very sharp top and bottom canine teeth. Well, that's just as the secular beast has physical power to devour the saints, so does the religious beast have spiritual power to devour the saints. And of course, saints have to be saints. That's how they're defended, right? Psalm 37 and 12, the wicked plotteth against the just and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. Psalm 57 and 4, my soul is among lions. I lie among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men, whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. And he went on to say, it was very black with many stars in it. Well, we know Abraham's seed are as the stars of heaven, quote unquote, just as Russia and China are a beast that has many stars. They will seek to conquer Israel and the United States, and many more children of God will be sucked in under this Genghis Khan spirit's darkness. The U.S. is being weakened by war, and especially by the previous administration's destruction of our economy and military. And Russia has its hands full with Ukraine, which is a good thing. That's the reason they couldn't enter into any defense against America, because they really have their hands full. And the West may not be conquered by the Russia/China beast until the tribulation, as the word in Hidden Manna in the chapter on the fall of the United States shows. It looked like the night's sky mirror image inside it. It didn't stand up, but if it had, the earth under its feet would have looked like a large beach ball. It was gigantic. Talking about the Genghis Khan spirit, right? It is a world-conquering spirit of the beast and in the secular realm, just as it is in the religious realm. Genghis was a merciless murderer of men, like faction and slander, and is a murderer of souls. I later asked the Father for a verse for this vision of the Genghis Khan spirit, and my finger was on Ezekiel 21:24. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, because you have made your iniquity to be remembered, in that your transgressions are uncovered, so that in all of your doings your sins do appear, because that you are come to remembrance, you shall be taken with hand. Let me say that when God gives you a verse like this, it doesn't necessarily have to fit the text, but it may fit the people that you're dealing with. Okay? Also, I want to say that unforgiveness, bitterness, hatred, and retaliation is the nature of those who have this spirit. And God does not forgive or forget their sins for this reason. In verses 11 and 12 of this text, God says, "The sword is upon all the princes of Israel," meaning natural and spiritual, "so that the apostate leadership of God's people can be included." You know, Israel is under apostate leadership. They're Khazarians, basically. And so is God's people under a Babylonish leadership. Verse 25, "And thou, O deadly, wounded, wicked one, the prince of Israel, whose day is come, in the time of the iniquity of the end, thus saith the Lord, remove the mitre, and take off the crown. This shall be no more the same. Exalt that which is low, and abase that which is high." So this is clear that this spirit will conquer an apostate leadership of God's people, and in the end, and they will be spiritually wounded and removed from their high position over any true people of God. So when I read the last part of this scripture, the Spirit brought to my remembrance what many said in Luke 1 and 51. "He has showed strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their heart. He hath put down princes from their thrones, and hath exalted them of low degree." So again, this was spoken of the removal of the apostates over the true people of God by the coming of the man-child ministry, and the next part of the vision shows. Right after this, I saw the upper half of a giant woman in the heavens, with long blonde hair and very fair skin, cradling a newborn with golden hair in her right arm. So the worldwide woman and the true church having brought forth the man-child ministry. Light from heaven was shining down upon them. I only saw her profile and the top of the newborn's head. She was also facing east, in other words, towards the coming of the sun, S-O-N, looking down at her baby. Her white garment lowered off of her right shoulder in preparation to nurse him, and a clear vial filled with golden oil appeared without hands and poured oil onto the infant's mouth and onto the woman's right breast. Then she brought the baby to her breast to nurse him. Well, this man-child will partake of the oil and gold of heaven and the anointing and nature of Jesus. We're going to see a lot of Jesus out there. "Because he that receiveth you receiveth me," he said to his disciples, right? So I asked the Father for a verse concerning the vision of the woman, and my finger fell on Psalm 128 and 3. "Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine in the innermost parts of thy house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. This whole psalm is kind of awesome. Yeah, amen. Well, I would say that God will prosper the woman church to bear the fruit of Jesus in the wilderness in spite of the dragon, who is Satan, and the Genghis Khan spirit, trying to destroy her and her man-child. Escaping this evil is for them a Passover of the destroyer before leaving Egypt for the wilderness. Remember that? You see the series there? And it's still going to be true. Things that have been are the things that shall be. It is the man-child escaping the dragon, which is trying to destroy them. So these two events seem, again, to be happening almost simultaneously or very close together, but they are both under the Father's sovereign control. And I believe that the Lord said this will not be prayed down, just lessened in some areas. Okay, this was called Enemy Tares. It was given to Teyana Fire. This is a revelation about the dangers of even thinking slanderous thoughts. I had been getting many strange attacks in the spiritual, usually thoughts and feelings, and many physical attacks all at once. I didn't mention this to my husband, Samuel, but I went and had a bath, wondering to the Lord why all these crazy attacks were happening. And I saw a specific person, and the enemy was giving her evil thoughts regarding me. She was unknowingly agreeing with those thoughts, not realizing that it was demons. This gave the demons legal right to attack me regarding the evil cursed thoughts. Revelation 12 and 10, and I heard a great voice in heaven, saying, "Now is come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, who accuses them before our God day and night." I then had a vision of a few other people from my past and some people who had fallen away. The enemy was giving them thoughts about me, and then the people were unknowingly speaking curses out loud against me. James 3, 5 through 12. So the tongue also is a little member and boasteth of great things. Behold, how much wood is kindled by how small a fire. And the tongue is a fire, the world of iniquity. Among our members is the tongue, which defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the wheel of nature, and is set on fire by hell. Be careful what you say. Don't pronounce curses on yourself or upon others, even ignorantly. Don't do it. The devil uses it. Verse 7. For every kind of beasts and birds, of creeping things, and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed by mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is a restless evil. It is full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we the Lord and Father, and therewith curse we men, who are made after the likeness of God. Out of the same mouth cometh forth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth the fountain send forth from the same opening sweet water and bitter? Can a fig tree, my brethren, yield olives, or a vine figs? Neither can salt water yield sweet. I was able to understand the enemy was using these people to get a legal right to attack me, hence all the crazy physical and spiritual attacks. All of this worked because God has given authority to man What they speak, they get. Proverbs 18 and 21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. In other words, whatever you say is going to bear fruit, right? So we either bless or curse, and the consequences of man's thoughts and words are more powerful than we really understand. I agree. And the Lord allowed me to see where the mental and physical attacks were all coming from. And 2 Corinthians 10 and 5 says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that is exalted against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. First, it starts out as a thought. Then it turns to an emotion. Then your words turn against you, you know. So stop it when it's a thought. That's the best thing to do. Then I heard in my spirit that because Jesus has paid the price for us, we have the power to not accept these attacks. And even though the enemy tries to use man's thoughts and words against us, we don't have to allow the thoughts and words to affect us. Matthew 18, 18 and 19 says, verily I say unto you, what things soever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and what things soever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So be careful what you say, right? You can loose demons. Verse 19, again I say unto you, that if two of you agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father who is in heaven. And so she goes on to say, we are not under the curse, and we are blessed because of faith in Jesus. The attacks, the evil thoughts, the evil feelings, and the pains all were put on Jesus because he paid the price to take it away. Amen. But we still have the choice to accept the curse and allow the enemy to attack us, or we can give it to Jesus, who already took it. Galatians 3 and 13, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. She gives Proverbs 26 and 2, as the sparrow in her wandering and as the swallow in her flying, so the curse that is causeless alighteth not. As soon as I heard this, I agreed, and I didn't accept these curses and idle thoughts against me, and I agreed that Jesus paid the price, and the attacks completely calmed. Praise God, and all glory to the Creator of all for all eternity. Amen. 1 Peter 2 and 24, who his own self bare our sins in his body upon the tree, that we, having died unto sins, might live unto righteousness, and by whose stripes ye were healed. Later, I went to Samuel, and he had been spending alone time with God. Samuel shared a prayer he had written for me to agree with, and it related to what God had revealed to me. And this is the prayer. Quote, do you agree that all curses, idle words, and all witchcraft are broken off of us and all of the brethren? That anyone who isn't wanting to follow the real Jesus will not try to contact or see us unless they are manifesting Christ. And that all of the brethren are healed, restored, and we will have enough provisions and everything is restored or replaced with better. And that we will never be separated from each other, and that we be godly parents to David forever, that's their son, to glorify God in all we do, and that we manifest his word and Christ in us. 100-fold all the time, and that we will be his vessels used to help others be closer to the Lord, being his hands and feet to establish his kingdom, and that we receive all of this now. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Almighty Father, in Jesus' name, for doing all these according to your word and promises. Amen. Very good. Thank you, Father. Well, I think I went over a little bit. It's okay. Thank you, Father, for this, and I pray it blesses people in Jesus' name. Everybody do the spiritual warfare. It's needed badly in Jesus' name. Amen. Good night.